Mr. A here, saying, how y'all doing?
Yo! Are you ready to rumble? Or should I say tumble? Cause I don't stumble, I fumble like a cracker by a gumbo. Standing on the ground, flat feet, now coming warm for trunk, and I'm doing it on my terms.
Welcome to the Rumble. We are back and better than ever, helping you stay ready so you don't have to get ready. We don't want you sucker punched, so we're here each and every week helping you keep your guard up. I am Jeremy Lavelle with Remedy Claims Consulting at Claims Coach on Instagram and TikTok, and they just call me the Mouth of the South. And alongside of me is the Catastrophe Queen, the Claims Dame, Miss Jessica Odell, and as always, the abundantly auspicious and the amazingly adulatory, the one, the only, Baby Cakes, Miss Donna.
What does that mean?
Love that. Oh, it means what?
Adulatory.
Adulatory, yeah.
What is it?
It's a great, fun SAT word, right?
So everybody should look it up.
Yeah, everybody should just go look it up. If you want to know what adulatory, spelled A-D-U-L-A-T-R-Y, T-O-R-Y. So if you want to know what adulatory means, you should go educate yourself.
Edumacate
yourself.
Adulatory, yeah. Whatever you just, yeah.
There we go. Adulatory. So, yeah, that's what you do. I love it. Y'all don't like adulatory?
I don't know what it means. I don't know if I'm being insulted or not.
You are definitely not being insulted. Okay. I can promise you that. I can promise you that you're not being insulted with, I would never, ever, you know, hide insulting you. I would just do that out.
Yeah, that's true.
So adulatory would be someone that gives adulations. Does that help you?
No.
No.
Okay.
I'm duped up on Benadryl. So
you mean congratulations?
It's a lot like that, but it's like praise, high praise. You're amazingly adulatory.
Yes, I am.
And to me, you are always adulatory to me.
Yes.
She is my biggest fan, my greatest cheerleader, my support, and pretty much anything that you see that's cool or here that's cool on this show is not me. She's the reason this entire show is
cool. Always standing behind him going, Hercules,
yeah,
Hercules.
You know what they say, behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes. So
that is me.
So anyway, how's everybody doing?
Good.
You know, by the time this airs, Control the Narrative will be in the rear view mirror.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. We've had a lot of response out of it. It's full, you know, it's full. Squeezing in a few people here and there, you know, standing room only. You know, you get the obstructed views are still available.
Nosebleed.
And I'm super excited that Jess has decided to join me behind the teaching podium and is going to be teaching us all about the final demand.
If you're one of those people that didn't get a ticket, you missed out.
Well, I certainly hope that that's the story by the time they listen to this next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am very excited about what this means moving forward. It's not just the event itself. I'm really excited about what this means moving forward from an education standpoint and one more outlet amongst all of the people out there that are doing a really great job educating the industry. You know, it's nice to know that there's another option. And I think, you know, there's no one course that you should take. There's nobody that's going to be A to Z, soup to nuts, the whole nine yards or whatever. And I am incredibly
take all of them.
You really should. Yeah. I mean, because they're all going to give you a different perspective. And because none of this is about go out and do it this way. Most of it is go out and do this one thing, you know, try this thing, pull this thing out as it applies to you and how you're doing things. And so all of these different tools to be applied in certain situations. And I, you know, one of the things I'm actually going to tell the class, again, if you're listening to this, it already happened, but I can tell you what, one of the things that I would tell the class is this for sure. It's like, don't try to implement this all at once. If you want to fall on your face, try to pick this one little thing, pick one claim and try to implement one thing in one claim and see how it goes because you want to adapt it. You know what I mean? So anyway, speaking of adapting things, You know, you've always got some really interesting information that changes my perspective and enlightens me. And we like to call those fun facts with Baby Cakes. So, Baby Cakes, do we have any fun facts?
We do.
Fun-adulations.
Fun Facts with Baby Cakes is brought to you by Inc., the best way to get paid after a property claim. Inc., save time, get paid. So I want to talk to you guys about zombies today.
Zombies?
Yep. Not the undead, but the British band.
Are they the walking zombies or like the running zombies?
No, this is the British band called the Zombies.
Ah, yes. The British band called the Zombies. Yep. What was that? They did like one song. What was it called?
The Time of the Season.
Oh, yes. I remember that song. It's the one that's in Forrest Gump. Well, yep. All the songs are in Forrest Gump. That's why it's 3 hours long. So they can get all the songs in there.
In 1968, the Zombies released the single The Time of the Season. It ended up being very, very popular in the United States. So the record company decided it was time to tour. But by the time they decided that, the band had already broken up and gone their separate ways. So the record company comes up with a workaround. They come up with the idea to make a fake band and call them the Zombies and send them on tour because nobody knows what they look like. There's no internet. You can't look them up. So they decided to send a fake band on tour. Not only did they send one, they sent two fake bands on tour.
Yeah, I can cover more ground there, right? You can do a European and American tour all at the same time.
Yep. So they were touring simultaneously throughout the United States. So one of the bands ended up just dissolving into nothing. The other band was a little blues band from Dallas. Two of the members were Frank Beard and Dusty Hill.
Wait a minute. Frank Beard and Dusty
Hill. And they would... join forces with a guitarist named Billy Gibbons and form the legendary band ZZ Top.
Looky there. That's where we got the Sharp Dress Band.
That's where ZZ Top came from.
There we go. ZZ Top was a blues band that masqueraded as the Zombies.
They were fake zombies.
And then they grew their beards out
and became real zombies.
Right. Who did we lose like a year or two ago?
I can't remember which one.
Was it Dusty that died?
I don't remember.
We lost one of the members.
But I don't remember.
I actually got to see ZZ Top open for, I believe it was Aerosmith at the amphitheater, whatever they're calling it, JEXA. We called it Starplex when I was in high school.
It's always going to be Starplex to me.
Yeah, it's a big amphitheater down by Fair Park on the east side of Dallas. And I saw them open. And I'm telling you what, man, they didn't miss a lick. All of the songs were good. And I always have been a kind of a fan of ZZ Top. I mean, not crazy. I don't own a bunch of their albums. I don't own anybody's albums now. Now that we download everything. That's interesting that they were the Zombies.
Yep. Now you know, and knowing is half the bullshit.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible show. And this is kind of birthed out of a situation that I had early on in my public adjusting career. Working claims was always easy. You know what I mean? Like, I get the idea of working claims. You can take these training courses. Control the Narrative is one that a bunch of people are taking here very soon. And then you've got you've got your Cal Spoons and your Matt Mahollins, and all of these guys are teaching all of this great claim strategy, these approaches, these methods, these processes. All of them are amazing. But the one thing that I really missed the most when I first went into business was, how do I run the business of it all? And how do I establish the infrastructure? So that is what we're going to talk about today, is developing your business no matter how you choose to run it. It's going to come to you in three separate rounds. When you hear this sound, you know that the round has begun. And when you hear this sound, you know that the round is over. I want to remind you that if you hear anything cool, like I said earlier, it's not me, it's Baby Cakes over there twisting the knobs and making us sound amazing. Jessica and I are not debating. We are simply commenting on the rumble that you guys are in each and every day. Let's get into this without further ado, because round one starts right after this.
Public adjusters, listen up. It's Jeremy Lavelle, owner of Remedy Claims Consulting, host of The Rumble, and most importantly, your claims coach. Public adjuster training is one of the hardest things to find. Sure, you can take some online seminars, you can show up to conferences, but none of them tailor training just for you until now. Whether you need to learn how to estimate, scope, negotiate, or prospect, I can help you drill down on the skills you want to develop. Maybe you're just starting out and you need to learn the claims process from A to Z, or you're just wanting help on strategy on a specific claim. I can help you find the traction you were looking for and learn how to truly control the narrative in the ever-changing world of claims. You can reach out to me directly at 888-596-8772, or you can find me on the web at remedyclaims.com and just click Get Started. That's 888-596-8772 or remedyclaims.com and click Get Started. You can even shoot me an email at jeremy@remedyclaims.com. That's J-E-R-O-M-Y at remedyclaims.com. It's time to move your career to the next level.
Round one, be the business. So, you know, one of the things that I realized is that, look, I know how to work claims. That I know. You know, I worked as an independent adjuster. Many of you may have worked as a contractor. You understand sort of the broad sweeping strokes of what it's like to work a claim, right? You know, this is, we go out, we do an inspection, we write an estimate, we turn it in, right? And as an independent adjuster, it was really very simple for me because they would send me an assignment. I would schedule the appointment. I would inspect it, write an estimate, turn it in, and then magically money would show up and I would get paid. Yeah. Well, that was super easy. You know what I mean? That is contract labor at its finest, right? I go out, I do my job, I get paid for my job, and I go on with my life. Now, as I was an independent adjuster, there were things that I had to take care of. All of my food, all of my lodging, all of my transportation. I had to consider those things. And I remember one time I was working up in Seattle, and it was one of the very first deployments that I was on that I realized the juice may not be worth the squeeze here because the damage wasn't really, really prevalent. So, and I was paid on the size of the estimate that I wrote. And because the damage wasn't that prevalent or that catastrophic, if you will, then it always rained or snowed or something while I was in Seattle. And I sat in a hotel room day after day after day because I couldn't get anything done. And I learned real quick that I was spending more money than I was making. So let's fast forward to the reality of being a public adjuster or even being a contractor, because while we may understand the thing that produces the revenue, it's how we manage not just the revenue itself that comes in, but the time that is required. How do we outsource it and figure out what we're going to do? So that's really what round one is about. So Jess, you have worked for a ton of organizations. You're kind of doing a little bit of your own sort of solo stuff, kind of while y'all are slow and in transition right now with your full-time gig. And what have you found has been the biggest struggle for you to figure out as far as getting the information goes?
Well, one is, like, I helped build Complete Adjusting Services from the ground up when Big Mo, the older brother I never got to have, you know, my god brother, who's no longer with us. When we built that company together, that was my first real eye-opening exposure to all of the, you know, licensing and certificate of formation and EIN numbers and workers' comp and all business banking, all these things were still kind of new to me because I'm very ops centric. I've always been an ops person. So processes, procedures, you know, quality control, quality assurance, like, you know, things getting done on time, all those things were, that's where my head's always been with the military. But I had no idea. These were new terms, new concepts. And I was responsible for helping making sure that we were compliant as a firm. So you know, as to our audience, especially if you're a new PA, you know, a question you definitely should ask yourself is, am I going to join a firm? Am I going to be an individual? But if I'm going to be an individual, are you just going to be one person? Or would you potentially outsource some things, which would then need cause you to think, consider being an entity, because there are so many different legalities with all three of those, whether you're working for a firm, you're working by yourself as a solo person, or you've got a couple people and you need to be an entity. You know,
so no matter what you pick, no matter what you pick, okay, I'm going to tell you right now the easy button. If you're a new public adjuster, or you're not very, maybe you know a lot about claims. Maybe you are very experienced in claims, but if you're not experienced running a business, the easy button is join a firm, because whatever it is that that firm is going to present you as a split is money you're going to spend anyway. Okay, so that, but I am an incredibly entrepreneurial guy. You know what I mean? I like to build a business. I like to build a brand. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that, right? And I enjoy that. That's part of the thing that I enjoy doing. But what I remember when I got into this thing, the thing that I basically wanted, what I wanted was I did not want to hire employees. I didn't want to be responsible for somebody's Christmas.
Now you're saying W-2s when you say employee.
Well, W-2, and I didn't want to guarantee anybody work either. Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if I had a 1099 public adjuster working with me, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want him to, you know, show up on Monday morning thinking that the phone was going to ring.
Right. It's scary.
Right.
It's scary to be responsible for that. So, regardless of what anyone does, whether they're individual, even if they're going to go work for another firm, one of the first things I learned was you have to establish yourself as an LLC in your state.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, before anything, go get a certificate of formation, or some states they call it a certificate of existence. Start there. That gives you your business name. And then through that process, you apply for your EIN. That's your federal, I think it's called the employee identification number.
It's employee identification number. That's exactly
okay.
What it is.
And because when you get your PA license, you're thinking, oh, I got my individual bond and my license, I'm good to go. No, well, you got the PA part good to go, but you still have to pay taxes. You still have to be registered to do business as a 1099. So those are the first two documents you got to go get: certificate of formation or existence, or whatever your state calls it, and then your EIN letter. Those two will at least help you get going on the right foot.
And most of them are pro forma. It's a matter of just filling out the application and mailing in the check if there's a fee. Not everything has a fee to it. It's mainly just a pro forma registration to say, hey, Uncle Sam, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. And that is really all it is. It's not like an approval thing. There's no stiff background checks or anything like that. It's just a matter of registering yourself as an individual entity.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's as just saying, hey, I am, here is my shingle that I am hanging out, you know, and that's basically it. And that is also going to allow you, because there's certain things that come next after that. And I'm just going to throw one out. This is in no particular order. One of the things that comes after that, guys, is insurance. You're going to have to, especially as a public adjuster, if nothing else, I think maybe you could consider whether or not you want general liability. You know what I mean? I mean, that's up to you. That's depending on what you have to protect and defend is what I would be concerned with. But the one thing that you will have to have, and don't try to operate without it, is errors and omissions.
Yep. A regular bond is not enough.
It's not.
It's a good it's a minimum. It is a minimum coverage, but you're right. The E&O for people that may be new to a lot of these terms, because I was in that seat too. I was like, holy cow, I had no idea there were all these different terms. E&O would cover you if somebody says, you know what, you didn't include this in my proof of loss package, and this, so then they didn't pay for it, and then you didn't even bother fighting for it, but you've known since the beginning and you accidentally left it out. Like, those types of professional accidents or whatever, E&O covers that. That allows them to prevent people from suing you and taking your house. You can do it under errors and omission.
So here's a thing. Let me give you a little bit more anecdotal sort of thing that can happen. Let's say you sign a claim, okay, and you get involved in this claim, and I'm gonna make up a situation. Let's say that you get so busy, you had a bunch of claims come in, and you're working your claims, you're doing the best you can for them, but you miss the date in the policy where they can file suit.
Yeah, exactly.
And you didn't kick it over to an attorney quick enough, or they decide to go to an attorney and then they find out that you didn't perform all of the duties after a loss. Things like you didn't send in a proof of loss. Not all states require it. Not all policies require it. So it was just an oversight. Everything was going fine with the claim. You documented the snot out of it. Everything is absolutely 100% perfect. You're not missing a thing. All your I's are dotted. All your T's are crossed, and the carrier just won't pay, just like the carrier always does. And so we're going to call up our people at Hard Hitting Law Firm, and we're going to go, these guys won't pay. And the attorney's going to go, you know what? You got a case here. And they get into depositions, and the carrier goes, yeah, you never filed a proof of loss.
You're like,
wait a minute. You never asked for one. Well, it says right here, it says that you have to file it within, like, if you're in Florida, there's no option. You have to file a proof of loss on every claim now. That's a new law. It used to be that you could ask for it, but now you've got to file it. You know what I mean? And check with Florida compliance on that. I'm not real sure, because I don't work much Florida claims at all, but as I've talked to people, you know what I mean? In Texas, you don't always have to file a proof of loss. You know, Oklahoma, typically they put it in their policy. Now they don't always, you know, accept it. They'll reject it, whatever the case may be. But I'm just telling you that there's a lot of public adjusters out there that don't file proof of loss. Not all states are proof of loss states, you know, so you have to check. But let's say the carrier comes in and the first question is we don't have a proof of loss. And because you didn't fulfill the duties after a loss, we don't owe you jack. Mm-hmm. And so then that person is going to turn to you, even though you have not been paid a dime.
Right.
Even though you have not been paid a dime, they're going to look at you and go, it's your fault that this is not covered. And if they choose to sue you because their roof didn't get covered, even though they have legitimate damage, and the reason that that claim didn't get paid is because you didn't file a proof of loss, guess who owes them a roof?
Yep.
You know, and so there's those little things there. And so this is not about, I mean, and it can happen to anybody. You just got busy. You didn't file it. You missed the deadline. Maybe you filed it on day 61. And they go, yeah, we didn't get this until day 61. You know, and the carrier just let you fight that claim and didn't care. And they told you it was because of wear and tear that they weren't paying for it. They never mentioned until it gets into legal, and they'll do anything they can to get out of a lawsuit. Know that.
And so E&O will cover that. So your bond is your minimum. That's the minimum required by the state. Highly, 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 highly recommend add some E&O on top of that. So that covers absolutely. You professionally. But as going back to the business part, general liability, and then you have, you know, business property. So general liability, you know, that covers, like, you know, somebody comes onto your business property or whatever, or you accidentally have a fall or somebody, whatever. It covers all sorts of accidents or whatever that could happen just by operating your business. That's general liability. But then you have business property is a part of that. It's just kind of like contents would be part of a homeowner's policy. So you could put your laptop, your work truck, those types of things could fall under that. So when you talk to your agent about, you know, getting business insurance, you want to ask about that. So there's that. Then you still got to look into workers' comp. Are you required to carry it as a 1099? Some state, it's not on the 1099 to pay for workers' comp. It's actually on the firm. Like in Louisiana, the firm I worked for there, they were responsible for carrying 1099 workers' comp. So, I mean, and they got, you know, so, but in Texas, there's not a requirement other than the 1099 carries it themselves. So you just, if you outsource to a 1099, just all you do is just make sure that they have it. But don't forget, you have to carry it for yourself too.
And I just want to wrap it up with this. You know, I mean, Jess said before we started, we could probably do an entire show just on this little topic, and we very well may come back to this, right? Yeah, I want to give this the proper amount of time because there's a lot to unpack here. We're going to hit three major topics, and so there's no way that we can cover it all. So if we miss something, we're sorry that we missed something. But let me say this, whether you choose to go to work for a firm or you choose to establish yourself and just hang out your own shingle and do that, all of that is fine. I am going to tell you, by and large, as a public adjuster, if you are going to work solo, be prepared to outsource a lot. And I'm talking about even claim activities such as like writing estimates, because you will bottleneck somewhere. There is a part of a claim process that you're not good at that you're going to have to outsource. So whether it's administrative help, following up with carriers, whether it's writing letters, whether it's sending out your forms, whatever the case may be, you are going to have to outsource some of it because there's just not enough time to work all of the claims that it requires for you to maintain an income. Okay, so because the claims don't pay out all the time, you know, sometimes it's 3 months before you get a claim paid out, and what you can handle on your own solo is going to be very difficult. That's why you want to consider, this is one thing I would say to wrap this up, is consider at least working with a firm for a little while so that you can understand the model of what needs to be done, because there's so much more to it than working claims. And that's why working for, and I'm hiring, by the way, so if any of you want to work and you're in the state of Texas, come see me, because we're adding public adjusters right now. It's still a world where you got to eat what you kill, but I do have some overflow and I'm hiring right now. So cheap, shameless plug for Remedy Claims Consulting. You can contact me at Remedy Claims Consulting or Jeremy at remedyclaims.com. Anyway, so remember that. And we're going to get into round two because it starts right after this.
One of the most difficult claims you can work is a contents claim. It requires extreme detail and significant documentation. Ricky McGregor with Monarch Claim Services is the expert you need on your side. She will handle on-site evaluation, inventory, photo documentation, pricing, and overall contents claim organization. She will work with your team beginning to end so you can focus on the rest of the claim. Do your client a favor and call Ricky McGregor with Monarch Claim Services. You can reach her at 515-783-1434. That's 515-783-1434, or find her on the web at monarchclaimservices.com.
Round two. What is the name of round two? We're all guessing what the name of round two is.
It's run the business.
How to run the business. Thank you to all the lovely ladies rolling their eyes behind me. I appreciate it.
First is be the business. Get it legit, and you can be one. Now it's time to run one.
And I think I was leeching into round two here, you know, a little bit when it comes to running the business and realizing that outsourcing is going to be a big part of it. I have not mastered this yet because of just, I'm going to be as transparent as I can. It's time management. If you don't have a grip on your time management and knowing exactly what you're, it is hard to get help if you don't have a standard operating procedure.
Yep.
So I'm going to throw it to my operations person here, our resident operations expert. Talk to us about how do we get these, where do we start square one on these SOPs so that even if we're outsourcing to like virtual assistants, or we're outsourcing to estimate writing services, how do we get these SOPs started so that we can communicate to the people that we so desperately need help from?
So first, I would recommend that if you're outsourcing to someone who's already in the industry, who's already been established, who already does this for a lot of other people, perhaps they have one of their own that's internal, or perhaps they're like, you know, out of everybody I write for, I really like writing this way. And you can ask for examples of products, have them redact it, have it, remove all the, pertinent or the personal information or things that might be considered, like an opening statement that somebody else uses, ask them to redact, stuff like that. But focus on, how they set that up. And if you like it and you're happy with it, you're like, yep, that's how I want it. Then you can say, I would like this to be our template, like write this way. I like it. Or if not, you say, okay, I know you write this way for this person, but here's how I would like my estimates organized. And so you create that template. You have just created at least a template for that estimator to operate off of that stays consistent across all of your claims. So even just by coordinating something like that, you're establishing that process. And then you can package that in that example shell of an estimate, and you can call that your standard operating procedure. The field part, which would go before the estimating, that's kind of comes with some experience. I mean, and getting your feet wet in other firms is you start to see how everybody does their field inspections. You start to see where they do awesome and where they're just terrible. You start to see how, when they get back to the office, do they even bother writing a claim narrative? Do they even bother writing a story about their findings? Or do they just say, here's all my photos and just dump it? Or, hey, here's my 8 photos for a $300,000 estimate. You know, you start to pick up on that and you're just like, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I kind of like this. And you put it together. And you just, there's dictation apps online that you can go to, and just you talk at it and it translates it and dictates it for you. And then all you do is you just kind of organize that into a standard operating procedure. And just,
I'm going to throw this out there. Now, this may come with mixed results. Y'all may throw rocks at me when I say this. But in the interest of time, when you're trying to get these stuff done, especially if you're working by yourself, right? Because if you're writing standard operating procedures and you're trying to outsource or communicate with some of these different services, right? And one of the things you have to know is what are the tools that are involved in my procedure? So whether that's a CRM, whether that's a file tracking system, because they're different, right. All of the different tools, whether it's Xactimate, whether it's, like I use something called SumoQuote, Company Cam, all of these different things. You've got Matterport, you've got all of these different sort of things that work into what's going on. You know what I'm saying? That work with whatever kind of claim you're doing. And you may break it down to on roof claims, this is our standard operating procedure for roof claims. On interior water losses, this is our standard procedure for interior water losses. On fires, it's like this. Those sorts of things. Catastrophe claims may have its own operating procedure, that kind of thing, that exactly. Starts from signing the client to whatever thing. And what I would tell you is to be as specific as far as a step goes as you possibly can. Then bullet point that thing out, right? And if you bullet point that thing out, you can go to services like ChatGPT.
Yep.
And have them write your standard operating procedure. I need a standard operating procedure for these steps.
Yes.
And you can drill down and get a specific. I was sitting there, I was working with a guy that used to, Brent Hooper, who used to host the Rumble with me or whatever, showed me some of these things in ChatGPT. Look, yep. This is not, I do not recommend that you use ChatGPT to turn in a final demand or a written narrative or an argument or right. There is nothing wrong with using it to clarify what you're saying, but so there's places where ChatGPT does not belong within the claims handling industry. But in this situation, for the sake of time, because you're one person, that thing can crank out a standard operating procedure in about an hour, and you're not sitting there typing this thing up, and you can review it, tweak it, and then move on with your life. It is a great tool, and it's worth the small subscription that you pay to be a part of ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And some of it's free, right. It's a great way to get started on that.
So another thing I would do is when we talk about running the business, right, is you got to have some kind of capital. I hate to say it. You got to have something saved.
Yeah.
I highly even recommend at a minimum, you as an individual and a brand new PA coming into this, if you didn't start out part-time and you just went cold turkey like I did, highly recommend 6 to 12 months of saving of your expenses saved, because claims are getting paid slower and slower and smaller amounts. The fights are longer. The fights are harder. It's getting crazy. It's getting ridiculous. They'll eventually pay, but you will not get any money for those first few months. And if you're not prepared for that with some savings, and I recommend 6 to 12 months easily for anybody. And then there's other costs associated with just running it. Like you said, a CRM, you know, there's you can do it cheap. You can just basically try to do everything in the spreadsheet if you wanted to, or OneNote, or then there's things like Pac-Man, there's Claim Wizard, there's Practice Panther, My Case, which is still today. I mean, I just love it. My Case is fantastic for what we do. There's HubSpot is a very inexpensive CRM. I'm currently using that because right now I'm just a part-time PA, very, very low volume, very local, you know, nothing crazy. So I don't need as robust of a CRM. But I got spoiled. I mean, I got spoiled big time by some of these other ones. Job Nimbus is another good one. Zoho is fantastic. A little bit of a learning curve with Zoho, but that's also very fantastic.
That's more of a canvas to build your own custom idea. Yeah. Trello is another one. It's a free one. There's some out there, but I want to delineate the difference between a CRM and a file tracking system. Okay.
Good point.
So Job Nimbus is one that's typically geared towards roofers or contractors that is a job tracking or file tracking system.
Yes.
A CRM, which stands for a customer relationship manager. Okay. Now they all have sort of like in the Venn diagram, they're all going to have crossovers and do many of the same things, right?
Right.
We have a CRM called Thrive, and you probably have heard the ads on this multiple times. You know, I talk about Thrive all the time. It is a very robust, CRM that is affordable. You know, I wouldn't say it's nothing close to free, but it is affordable. It manages our website. It got our website up and running. It can manage your social media. It does a lot of different things. We can accept payments through it, you know, and obviously it's the contact manager. You can do email. It's more generated to marketing though. And most CRMs are more bent towards marketing and sales follow-up. Whereas like Job Nimbus, Claim Wizard, Practice Panther, those are file tracking systems. And I am of the opinion when you're up and running and you've got claims coming in and you're running between, you know, 10 and 15 claims a month or something like that, that's how many's coming through the door. You're going to need both. Right. You're going to need both of those things. One can be free and the other one you're going to pay for, that kind of thing. But those are out there. And the thing I would buy before I would buy any CRM is a file tracking system. And there's a lot of really good affordable ones out there. I agree with that
as well. Yeah, definitely. Some way to keep your files organized, you know, tidy, complete. You can catch things that are wrong or not progressing or whatever very easily. And then it can be all packaged up. And if it has to go to legal for any reason, you can package it up and send it to legal as one package. It's all nice and organized.
Yeah. And when you say the legal thing, that makes me kind of go back to running the business and the outsourcing and all of those kind of things, because compliance is a huge thing when you're running your business. You've got to stay in compliance, whether you're managing and tracking your licenses in different states or the bonds in different states, because my license renews at a different rate that my bond renews. And maybe they're 30 or 45 days apart. Maybe, you know, it just kind of depends on kind of how the dates on all of that works, but you're going to want to pay attention to all of those sorts of things, the different contracts that you have, paying attention to the laws that change in the state, all of those kinds of compliance issues. I am blessed that I have basically a compliance manager that I share a home with, and she takes care of all of my compliance and watches those things for me and makes sure that I stay up to date on that, because I don't think about it. I really don't. I mean, because when I am knee deep in a fire, I'm not thinking about, is my license due to renew? You know, I mean, it's just not crossing my mind.
Right.
Right. Have I done all my CEs? Yeah. Did I get credit? Was that last year? And, you know, that kind of, it's just not, I'm not thinking about it.
Also, you know, when you're thinking about running the business, it's not just, you know, your CRM and that stuff, but, you know, a service like Inc. is fantastic to consider, you know, paying for or being a part of. You know, having a QuickBooks, that might be another cost, whether it's a self-employed QuickBooks or a full-blown. You know, there's so many different options that QuickBooks offers, you know, that makes it scalable. So you have a basic and you can go all the way up. So there's, you know, your CRM, your, you know, claims management software system that you use, whatever tracking, QuickBooks, Inc., Company Cam. There's InCircle is another option. Then you got to pay your subscription for Xactimate if you choose to use Xactimate. Then you've got, I mean, that you still have maintenance costs for your equipment, even, which equipment could be a whole another.
You've got a whole list of shit here. Yeah. You sent me a whole list, and I'm just going to read what Jessica Inc. is a great. It is, you know, and we can get Jess and I both can help facilitate getting you set up with some of these things. I'm going to tell you that there's HR and payment and invoicing and things like that. There's a company called Heartland that is very good that will help streamline some of that for you. How many bank accounts do you have? A business savings, a business checking, a business payroll. How are you going to manage and look at all of that? Yeah. I mean, do you?
I thought you only needed one for the longest time. I was just need one. And somebody was like, no, you need a minimum of three, one to take the income in, one to do operating expenses, one to do payroll. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh my God. And it all costs money. It all, every bit of it costs you money. So when a CPA
a good CPA that knows what we do.
Right. And here's one of the things that you hear me preach this all the time is I'm a part of a networking group. And yes, I do get referrals out of this networking group. It has been a fantastic referral source and relationship builder. But the number one thing that it provides me is resources to run my business. Go join a networking group. And I would tell you that I would not look at a group. Nothing wrong with visiting and finding one and the people that you like. Don't get me wrong. But you want about 25 people in the room for it to be that consulting firm that you need to run your business. And those are incredibly handy to have at your ready to be a part of. And it's a community of business owners. And they're all slugging it out and struggling just like you are. And they are usually you get some of the best customer service because they're trying to build a business too. And, you know, there's a lot of these different things that you can get involved in. And again, I go back to the Heartlands and the Inks and the, you know, the CPAs and the bookkeepers that you can have. There's virtual assistants out there that you can get that help streamline some of these things, especially as a solopreneur. You're never going to do it on your own. So you can let that go right now. You cannot run this business by yourself, no matter how hard you try.
Where do they go to sign up for Inc?
I believe you can go.
You have an affiliate.
Hang on a second. That's a great question, Donna. So what you can do if you're interested in Inc, I can get you signed up. All you have to do is go to, good grief. Where is
that? I know I'm pulling up mine too. I know it's inc.com, but there's a way to put a code in. So there's a way to do this.
And I'm trying to figure out exactly what that's going to be.
While he's looking that up, I'll do a quick explanation of what Inc is. So
yeah, do that.
One of the things
I got to ring the bell. There we go. You can wrap that up. There you go.
So super quick. When you get checks in and your name is on it, the client's name's on it, the mortgage company's on it, a lot of times the bank expects you to be there in person to endorse it over to the insured to go into their bank account. More and more banks are getting, you know, a little, as long as it's been endorsed by that other party, it's fine, or you have a stamp or something. But every now and then you'll still run into banks, especially smaller banks or smaller community banks, where they're like, no, you have to be here. You have to endorse this in front of a witness, blah, blah, blah. Inc. is a check processing service, and it has been a game changer. The fee is not that much, considering you're saving on gas and all the hours of travel time and linking up and trying to, it handles it for you. You upload the photo images of the check digitally, just like you would do a deposit into your own bank account. And you put the claim information in there. You can upload a copy of the estimate. And then they reach out to the mortgage company. They find out what the mortgage company requirements are. They get the documentation over to the mortgage company. They're making those connections. They give you a FedEx label to be able to FedEx the check over to the mortgage company so that the mortgage company can do the stamp. Mortgage company does the stamp. There's another return FedEx label that goes right back to you as the PA. And it just completes the circle. And then boom, it hits everybody's account. The other thing that's amazing about it is you can do the payment breakdown right there in ink. So let's say you get that check. Let's say it's $10,000. Well, guess what? PA gets 10%. The homeowner gets 90%. You can set that up in there and the homeowner sees it. They sign it. So the money that hits the homeowner's account is 100% theirs. And I thought a lot of homeowners were not going to be happy about that. You know,
oh, they love it.
They love it. They love it. They're like, okay, your fee's already taken out. Okay, good. I'm good. I don't care. I've got what I need. I'm going to move forward. I thought they would feel a little uncomfortable about that, but it's not.
I have not. I have found that they don't. I have found that they're really okay with it. The other thing that you can do is you can add stakeholders to that payment as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what I like. So if they want you to pay the gutter guy or they want you to pay the roofer, just go ahead and pay him for me and I don't have to worry about it. You can add those stakeholders that are not written on the check. You can add those stakeholders to it and they can get paid immediately. And here's the beautiful thing.
You can even pay your employees through that.
Yeah, you can. Yep. Yeah. I mean, because like we outsource most of our content stuff to Monarch Claims, right? And so when we get in and get paid, she gives me the invoice and I can take that invoice and pay her as a stakeholder. Here is the thing that I want to tell you about Inc. before we move into round three. Here's the beautiful thing. When you get these large checks, and by large, I mean $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 that are going to people who typically don't deposit $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 into their account, that bank is going to hold that check for 7 to 10 days in some cases.
I've seen 21.
It is crazy. Like, and you are waiting on your money for that. Then when you want to get your money, if you don't have matching funds and they actually do write you a check, if they write you a check, then you're getting these checks for $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, $11,000, those kinds of things. Your bank will then hold it for another 5 days before you have it. You know how I know that? Because I have dealt with this very thing. Yep. If you go through Inc., there is one waiting period and it's 2 to 5 days. That's it. One waiting period for that one check and you're done. 2 to 5 days and you have your money. And that is an incredible value. I don't have to run around and wait in bank parking lots and cover exits and you know, deploy a TAC team to make sure they don't sneak out the back or crawl out the bathroom window.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Ink clears up more headaches than ibuprofen. I guarantee it. You know what I mean? Are they perfect? No. Have they had some hiccups? Yes. But I guarantee you the problems that they solve are far greater than the hiccups that you have on any given individual claim.
It has been such a godsend to me. It's just, you know, like I said, part-time, very low volume, local, whatever. I don't have a full-blown company or anything. For me, I just pay the whole fee. Because I called them and I said, I don't want to split the fee with the homeowner for this processing service. I was like, just send me a bill every month. And they said, absolutely, we'll do that.
That's what I do. I do. I cover the fees for my, I mean, because it caps at $300 and it doesn't, so it's 1% up to $300 is the fee on it. That's cheaper than QuickBooks. That's cheaper than a credit card. Because if they pay you with a credit card and you bring the credit card in, hear me, that's 3%. So that $1,000 you're getting is not $1,000. It's $930 yep. Or whatever the 3% on that is. I'm not doing very good math here. $970. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. I wasn't hugged enough. Anyway, and so Inc. solves that problem for you. It is the lowest fee that I have seen to transfer money. It's and it's one time, it's one fee for one check. And it's, and God, I can't say enough about it.
We can do a whole round on just.
Yeah, and if yeah. And so if just, I'll get you eyeball to eyeball with those folks, call me if you want to get ink going. So we're going to get into round three. It starts right after this.
Are you a public adjuster, insurance roofer, or part of the restoration industry looking to streamline your first-party claims process? Let me introduce you to ClaimWizard, the ultimate tool that transforms the way you handle claims. ClaimWizard is designed with your unique business needs in mind. It offers a comprehensive suite of features that makes managing claims effortless. With its intuitive dashboard, you can easily track and manage every aspect of a claim from initiation to settlement. This powerful platform supports document management, automates workflows, and provides real-time updates, ensuring you stay ahead in the game. At ClaimWizard, they understand the importance of support. That's why they offer unmatched customer service with a team of experts who are always ready to assist you. Whether it's a technical query or guidance on best practices, Team Wizard is there to ensure your experience with ClaimWizard is smooth and efficient. Time is money, especially in the claims industry. ClaimWizard is engineered to maximize efficiency. It streamlines the entire claims process, reducing the time spent on paperwork and administration. This means faster claim resolution, increased customer satisfaction, and ultimately a boost in your business's productivity and profitability. So if you're looking to elevate your claims handling process, ClaimWizard is the solution. Try it today and experience a revolution in claims management. ClaimWizard, revolutionizing claims, handling one claim at a time.
Round three, how to grow and scale your business. Maybe you don't want to grow and scale your business.
Yeah.
Maybe you just want to remain a solopreneur and just own your own job. Guys, that's okay.
Yep.
That is absolutely 100%. I mean, because when I got into this, all I wanted to do was not have a boss. I didn't want to be responsible for other people. I didn't want to make sure that they had work. I didn't want to have to train them. That is okay. And that is a way that you can go down and you can just go out. And that's what I like to call owning your own job or just simply being self-employed. Nothing wrong with that. I will tell you, the best thing to make sure you're tracking your expenses, you know what I mean? And get with an accountant on that and figure out for your brand of business and whether, you know, kind of what your state tax is, your sales tax and all that kind of stuff. I mean, like, look, I don't know any of that stuff and I'm not going to tell you that, but when it comes to growing and scaling your business, you're going to have some kind of infrastructure, no matter which way you want to grow as somebody that's self-employed or as building a firm. Go ahead, Jess.
I think that's a perfect segue into the first point, which is to consider how are you going to pay people? Because that's everybody asks that question. Well, how's everybody else getting paid? Well, what do you pay an estimator? Well, what do you pay an inspector? What do you pay? Do you separate everything out, or does the inspector also write the estimate, or what, is there a desk adjuster, you know, or do, you know, when you start outsourcing, okay, you don't necessarily, maybe they're not being hired into a firm. Maybe you're still not a firm, but you still outsource. You still got to consider what's fair to pay people. What's a fair request versus, okay, somebody doesn't know their worth and should be asking more, or the other way around, they're asking like way too much. You know, how to pay your people is the first question to ask yourself, and then figure out how you're going to get that paid to them.
I wish I had like a bomb sound effect. In her bomb sound effect. Enter. Right there.
You do.
You can edit that out. Don't look at me like that. It's already too long anyway. Yeah. So how you're going to pay your people is a huge thing. Because I made a decision kind of at the end of last year, as I was looking at the volume that was coming in, I made a decision, and it was, after long conversations with Donna and deciding that we're going to go ahead and build a firm, which is why I said earlier that I'm hiring. I'm going to go ahead and build a firm. We've got the work that's coming in. And it also boils down to what I want to do, you know, as far as my job goes, right?
Right.
I want to be able to do the Rumble. I want to be able to go and teach things like control the narrative. I want to consult with building PA firms and building contracting organizations, those kinds of things. I want to be free to be able to go do that. And then there's the claims that I particularly enjoy working, which involves some sort of water leak.
Amen.
I don't want to climb roofs anymore. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like handling the claim. I don't like the process. Do I understand it? Do I know it? Have I mastered it? Absolutely. I just don't enjoy it. It's not my favorite thing. You know, what I like, I mean, even more than fires, I like water losses.
100%.
Now, I like fires because of the thing that I like about fires is because it's just a super involved claim. Like with the contents, I have learned so much from Ricky McGregor when it comes to content. Oh my God, the amount that I've learned. And the InCircle app that Jess had alluded to earlier is very good for content. So if you're going to want to get into content, you know what I mean? That's the app to use, you know? Because of what the policy says, let me just say this really quickly about contents. Because of what the policy says, I would not spend a bunch of time dealing with exact contents in Xactimate. That's just my opinion. Do you know what I'm saying? That is just kind of what I would do. Now, it's a great resource as far as looking up prices and things like that go, because the policy requires you to create an inventory and to price it. But InCircle is really good at helping you research those prices. And, you know, and then you got to figure out how to apply the depreciation to it. I don't really know a lot about it because Ricky honestly handles it for me.
Well, and but the other thing that now both of them, InCircle and Exact Contents, have AI to where you
can. Oh, do they really?
You can do it's image recognition. It's been a game changer for doing contents. You can use image identification, point click at the image. It finds it. AI finds it for you on the internet. Here's a couple links and here's the, you know, average market price. And do you want to add this to the sheet? Yes. Boom. It just moves it over to the sheet and it pre-fills out the sheet for you. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. If you're a PA right now and you're like, I don't even want to deal with contents. That's too much to sit and have to price. And I mean, I don't like shopping. And now you're wanting me to sit down and go find values of stuff at Neiman Marcus. I don't even shop at Neiman Marcus. Like, there's a ton of PAs that have left crazy money on the table because contents up until AI had been very labor intensive to be able to do evaluation tedious. For.
Yeah.
Because I used tedious. To do them. Yep. I used to do that for other PAs as a side gig. I would, like, in the evening, I can't sit still. My husband likes when I sit next to him and watch TV, but it makes my skin crawl to sit and watch TV. So I would literally do valuations of content.
My skin feel real good. I'm not going to lie to you. I love it.
But now it's like, AI does it all for you. So embrace it. Go get that money. Don't leave it on the table anymore. Now I'm off my soapbox. Sorry.
I just want to point something out here. And as far as you want to grow your business without doing more claims, well, go get the 70% of coverage A availability that's there. I mean, look, there is so much to content and you're leaving so much money on the table. Go learn. I last year alone, I think I worked 6 claims that were contents only.
Yep.
Contents only. And, you know, it's
not sexy, but it.
Well, it's good. Also not argumentative. It's also not argumentative. It is very clear cut. You know what I mean? You're not arguing wear and tear and repairability. Not in the same kind of way. And here's the beautiful thing: as a public adjuster, everything is unsalvageable. Everything, because it doesn't tell you. What it tells you to do is make a list of damage, make a list of damaged property. And how much it costs to replace it and what the depreciation on it is. You're not doing damage assessment. You're making a list and you're getting paid handsomely for it. Don't sleep on contents. And if you need help with contents, Remedy Claims is right here to help you out with contents. Right. So
that. So learning how to pay, you know, how you're going to pay people and what to pay people. Then the next thing would be finding talent, finding and hiring that talent. I can't speak on that. I don't have just a lot of experience in that at all. But Jeremy, I don't know if you wanted to chime in on finding and hiring talent.
Yeah. So there is when it comes to hiring talent, it's hard to attract talent because most people who want to come work with you want some sort of guarantee. Right. And as a owner of a public adjusting firm, it is very difficult to provide those guarantees. Right. I have known guys that hit a hurricane. They have all kinds of stuff coming in and they offer all these guarantees. And then when all the hurricane work is done, they end up still paying out these guarantees without the claim volume. And so it's a scary thing to do. So it's hard to attract talent when that talent that you attract, you know, when they have to go out and find their own claims and do their own thing in that regard, then realize they start think what they start thinking is why am I giving him 40% of my money when I could be getting all of it? Well, the reality is you're never going to get all of it.
That's right.
That's one. Mm-hmm. And number two, you know, it's hard to hang on to them because they think that they can do it cheaper. You know what I'm saying? And so they can retain more of it. They decrease their overhead because they look at the overhead of working with the firm versus the overhead of owning and operating all this stuff on their own. The reality is that, you know, when it comes to bringing those people in, it's hard to do that, you know? And so you're going to have to focus. There's certain seats if you're building a firm that you're going to want to focus on. And I'm going to give you those right now. Okay. You're going to have somebody sitting in operations that understands sort of the workflow and managing that workflow from the customer phone call to the time that you deposit the check and all of the things in between that happen. That's one thing. You're going to have operations. You're going to have training. So whether it's you doing videos and writing SOPs or you send them to some sort of formal training program like Control the Narrative, or you send them to Cal Spoon's boot camp, or you send them through some sort of formal training program, you're going to have to address training. The next thing you're going to have to look at is financing. If you've got to have somebody that's paying attention to the dollars and cents, that's doing all the bean counting, because you got to figure out whether or not every claim that you take is going to be profitable. Number one, you got to know what your threshold is. I think everybody deserves help, and you need to consider pro bono work and things that are below your threshold from time to time. Right. But by and large, Remedy Claims doesn't touch anything less than a $30,000 delta. You know, that's because of the cost that it takes to prosecute the claim, essentially.
Right.
So you're going to have people who know what it costs, basically, so that that claim is paying its fair share and you're looking at your margin. So have somebody watching that. So to review, you've got operations, you've got training, you've got finance. The other thing that you want to look at is primarily marketing. Because if you're building a firm, you're going to have to do some kind of marketing. Now, there's all kinds of stuff out there. There's social media. You can bring somebody in to manage your social media presence. There's networking groups. There's industry events. There is, you know, a search engine optimization with your website. There's just good old fashioned canvassing, whatever those things are. More than likely, you're going to have an element of all of those things that I just listed out. Okay. You're going to, in some way, look at those four seats in that marketing thing. You're going to have efforts and arms in all of that, whether it's social media, you know, local networking, industry events. Jump in, Jess, go ahead.
I got one more seat to add. And that is somebody that is your intake or your primary admin. The first line of defense, so to speak, when somebody calls into your firm. One profession that I highly recommend for that seat, and I will defend this all day long, is a former hospice nurse. Really? Those people are so compassionate. They know how to talk to people who are stressed or in chaos, in distress, you know, scared, whatever. I mean, when we built Complete Adjusting Services, our front office, you know, admin was, she's a former hospice nurse. And no matter how the rest of the claim process went, they constantly would say how much they loved Carrie. Everybody loved Carrie. She was just so personable and memorable. And I mean, just, I recommend it all day long. Get you a solid person to do intake. Don't skimp on that position.
And that person and usually I would slide them under operations, between you and me. They would be the intake manager. That's how I would structure it. I'm going to tell you that there is a model out there. If you haven't read this book, read Traction.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
I would read Traction. And then there's also another one out there. Lynette Young of Claim Wizard is actually a coach in this. And I'm trying to remember what that is called. Do you recall it?
She mentioned it in the episode that she was on.
I don't think it was EOS, because I was going to listen to the EOS.
Yeah. Well, EOS, which is Entrepreneurial Operating System. Yeah. You can read Traction, because it will help you figure out sort of what your format is. Now, Traction, to implement the full EOS system, needs about 10 to 15 employees, and you may not have that. But understand what it's going to do is it's going to help you silo out the responsibilities and things that you have to focus on. You know, and like I said, I would probably filter those, you know, what Jess said, you do have to have intake needs to be strong. It needs to be robust. And these people, usually by the time they call a PA, are 9 levels of pissed off.
Yep.
They're hurt and they're angry. And the biggest thing that they want to be is heard, you know. And the last little thing, if you want to build a firm or if you want to be a successful PA, answer the damn phone. Answer the damn phone. I don't care if you will answer the phone, even if you haven't done your job, or even if you've dropped the ball in some kind of way. Generally, they are understanding. If you just own it, answer the phone, deal with the 3 minutes of the ass chewing that you're going to take, hang up the phone and go back to work. Answer the phone. The lack of communication will bring you asunder quicker than anything else will. And so answer the phone. If you want to be a success as a public adjuster, as a contractor, as anything at all, when you're dealing with the public, answer the damn phone. I cannot say it enough. And that's going to do it for this happy episode of The Rumble. Yeah. Jess, final thoughts. We're going to cover all of these again. We're going
to
get into.
I really do. I think that's what I would like to say to the audience. If you have any specific interest in any one of those episodes, we could turn any one of those rounds into a full blown episode. So
we really could.
Post your comments below. Reach out to us, whatever, and we'll put together a full episode. This is a lot to unpack, and we went very quickly through it.
Within the curriculum and the training platform that is Control the Narrative and the Pain of the Claim, one of the things that I'm going to develop, and Jess, you've been drafted, is to develop a training that unpacks these 3 different things, or those 5 different seats, and how you can come in and get trained on, one, building a firm. I want to do one on just marketing. Like, I want to do like a 2 or 3 hour seminar on just marketing.
Really,
if y'all are interested in some of those kind of trainings, please let me know. Guys, there's nothing easy about this. We don't do this because it's easy. We do this because we thought it would be easy. And we're faced with these struggles and these challenges. Look, you are not alone. Jump in there, leave some comments, reach out to us. I'm always happy to help you guys. If you like this episode, I am going to request that you hit that subscribe button and tell your friends about it, because we are trying to build the listener base on this thing, and we're trying to be consistent. I know we've taken a couple of weeks off. I was sick one of those weeks. Jess beat COVID down with a stick, and I beat it down with a cough. And anyway, but we're back now, you know, and I'm happy to be back. Please, please bear with us and stay in contact. contact with us. For those of you that came to control the narrative yesterday, thank you so much. I could not do this without you guys, without your support. Thank you to all of our sponsors that help us put the Rumble on, that help us put on Control the Narrative. I cannot thank you enough. We will be back next week. And in the meantime, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And we will see you on the next one.
Yes, we're coming up, don't even try to diminish it. I won't start it, but I damn sure will finish it.